Good morning. Thank you all for coming out. Thank you for them songs, Nathan. They were quite a blessing. Praise the Lord. Jesus is risen. And even though I don't have a resurrection sermon to share with you, it's still the only reason I can share what I am going to is because Jesus has risen. And my title this morning is To Be Great. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is not necessarily a new topic for us, but as we go about life, we often find ourselves in this warfare of what does it mean to be great? And if we just read take some of these passages and see what the Word has to say about it, we can be reminded of what it truly means to be great in the kingdom of heaven. And for ourselves, it's so easy to be caught up in what it means to be great with what we can easily see on the outside and in our own hearts and what influences there are around us. What does the Word have to say? In this passage, the Corinthians were having some trouble with getting along. They were going to court and things before working out some of their own problems. And let's see how this can apply. In chapter 6, let's just start with verse 1 and we'll read to verse 8. Dare any of you have a matter against another? Go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? And that's where I got this inspiration. That phrase stuck out to me. Why do ye not rather take wrong? And that obviously comes from Jesus teaching not to fight back and to take the worse than the what feels good ending to so many situations we find ourselves in. So I'm just going to write just a phrase from each of these passages that goes together with this. Here I'm just going to write, take the wrong. Turn to Genesis chapter 4. This is a sad story of the first murder The first children did not get along. And let's just observe how it all started. Let's read the first several verses here. To verse 8. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. His account shows how easily it can be to start down the wrong road. Cain failed to bring the acceptable sacrifice to God. We often picture it not so much about what it was, but it was probably less than the best. Abel brought from the fat of his flock. And it just says that Cain brought of... How exactly does it say this? He just brought from the fruit of the ground. It doesn't really tell you us much about it. But it was not what the Lord had respect for. Something was wrong with it. And here it's almost like God gives him a second chance. The Lord says unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He asks him a question. If you just do well, probably give your best, you will be accepted. But if not, sin lieth at the door. And instead of correcting where he went wrong here, he left jealousy and bitterness towards his brother who had succeeded rise in his heart. And it took him to the place that he killed his brother, basically making his brother pay for his own fault. And if we look back in this passage in 1 Corinthians, we have some similar wording that I found interesting here. Actually, we'll get to this a little later. That's in a different passage. Okay, let's move on. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Okay, I just want to write, give your best. Here there's the parable Jesus gives of the talents. Here, it wasn't so much how much each was given, how much they were responsible, for, but rather how much, what they did with what they were given. If we look in chapter 20 of Matthew, in verse 20, "And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more." And it was the same thing with him that had 2. And then the one that had 1 just buried it. The reason I bring this out is to show that it's not exactly how much we have, but rather how much do we do with what we have. And also, there's just another passage in Mark chapter 12, a situation that Jesus and the disciples observed. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to the end, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which makes a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even her living." Okay, so here we just saw God wants our best. Now we also have give all. Just a little space here. Now, I came up with this mental illustration kind of on gifts and our stages of life. Picture we have a family and we have 3 children. We have Tim, he's just learning to walk. We have Susie, she's just learning to get good at making things in the kitchen. And also we have Ronnie, he's getting pretty big and he just got his driver's license. So picture yourself as the parent. Tim is just learning to walk. He's just taking his first steps, and it's so exciting. All the siblings are cheering him on, and everybody wants to be involved. And then we have Susie. We all love chocolate cake with peanut butter icing, and she just figured out how to do it just like Mom. Doesn't that make you happy? And we also have Ronnie. He just got his driver's license. And that's exciting and maybe a little risky, but a little more dangerous than Tim just tipping over if he makes a mistake. But they're all at their different levels, but we're excited for them for where they're at. And if Ronnie was just taking his first step, something would be majorly wrong. And we definitely wouldn't expect the little one to be driving a vehicle. So just a mental illustration there. Let's move on to some more passages here. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. For this is thankworthy, if a man for a conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So sometimes in life, we find ourselves where we've made a mistake, and we suffer for it. And that's why I left a little space here. Picture Cain here, how he failed to give his best. And so he suffered for it, but he could have fixed it. God gave him a second chance. And sometimes we end up there. What do we do with it? Do we make it right and go back and give our best? Or do we see others that have excelled because they have done their best and want to take them out to somehow ease ourselves? But then, of course, well, obviously, if we could get this one right, we could just eliminate that one. But we're human, and we find ourselves there sometimes. And just like Cain failed, we find ourselves there. But we often have another chance. Turn to Mark chapter 9, verses 33 to 37. Okay, and now considering greatness again, Jesus was on a trip from Capernaum, and his disciples were disputing among themselves about being great. And let's see what he says here. In verse 33, "And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, 'What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?' But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves, who should be the greatest? And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, 'If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me.'" So here we just simply have a command, basically. To be great, we need to receive the little. Turn to John 13:13. Here Jesus gives an example here at the Last Supper. In verse 13 of chapter 13, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Jesus gave the example of him as the Master. He's what we're striving to be like. Jesus is great, but he did it through serving his servants. And we even see Judas there. Judas betrayed Jesus and helped to get him crucified. And Jesus still washed his feet. So I'm just going to write down here, serve the lowly. Okay, and then in Luke, okay, I'm missing one here. Yeah, Luke 6, verse 35. This is just some of Jesus' straightforward teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. Luke 6, 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Here we find a great reward being given. Great rewards are given to great people that have accomplished great deeds. And here Jesus is telling us, to be great, we need to forgive or love our enemies and do good to everybody, not expecting to get anything back. And that may be kind of baffling, because how can we do that if we have a great reward in mind? But I think what it means is, by loving those that are hard to, those that have evil against you, and lending to him that may never give it back, we're not looking for a return from them people. God's going to be the one that gives the reward. It takes someone who stands out, who goes against the natural flow of fighting and folly, to do as our great master has taught us and showed us, to receive his great reward. And here it says, we will be called children of the Highest. Or in Matthew it says, children of God, I believe. So as we think of being great, in our natural way, our flesh wants to stand out from everybody else. Be different. What makes you great? It's being better than someone else, in a sense. And here, as a Christian, it can be so much the same way, in the sense that most people, the world is full of fighting and getting what you want. Lots of selfishness. And so it's rare to have someone that can love their enemies and do these things that Jesus teaches us how. You're actually being different and sticking out. And then I have one more. And this is the one we get out of 1 Peter. If we turn back to 1 Peter, the same passage we were in. Let's read from 20 to 23. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously. And that's where I get, commit yourself. It's what Jesus did. Through all his suffering there when he was crucified and in the garden, here it says he committed himself to him that judges righteously. And we can do the same. We don't have to worry about fixing the wrong, having to straightening things out. We can just let it to God. So we have, to be great, we must learn to take wrong. We must give our best. We want to give all. And then just some of the, there's more of these, but just some of the ones we turn to. It's receiving the little, serving the lowly, love your enemies, and then finally I put, commit yourself to God, and He will take care of what you don't have to. God bless.